The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Drafted is a production of Treefort Media, Clutch Sports Group, and iHeartRadio.
Action.
You have to say action?
No, I just said that. Just say.
Welcome back to Drafted. I'm Steven Johnson, and in our last two episodes, we followed two of the highest-rated prospects in this draft class. Superstar receiver Devontae Smith.
I never back down from nobody. I don't care who you are, how old you is. I've always been scrappy.
And dominating offensive lineman Alex Leatherwood.
You got to move another human being who doesn't want to be moved from one point to another.
Now, we're less than 24 hours away from the start of the first round in Cleveland, Ohio. The next step in Alex Leatherwood's long-term plan is finally on the horizon. From mastering his blocking techniques, to playing for the top college program, to learning multiple positions on the offensive line, every move he's made has been a deliberate march to this point.
He's definitely a mastermind in planning and executing.
The next big step on Alex's master plan is to become a first-round draft pick. That's part of the reason he returned to Alabama for his senior season. Although whether he'll be picked in round one or not is still up in the air. In fact, it's such a big unknown that ESPN's NFL expert Jeremy Fowler calls Demaryius Bilbo, Alex's agent at Clutch Sports, to specifically ask about Alex's draft position.
To what do I owe this honor of hearing from Jeremy Fowler?
Jeremy Fowler asks Demaryius if Alex is going to be taken in the first round.
Man, that's a question for us all. I got him between, and this I literally told him this is a huge gap, I got him between 19 and 40, the range. And I say that because most teams I've talked to, Jeremy, they only have like 15 to 16 first-round grades.
Most NFL teams only have first-round grades on 15 or 16 players this year because there was no scouting combine. The college season was about half the normal length, and a large number of players opted to sit out the year completely. Scouts and executives, accustomed to making draft decisions with folders of data and dozens of hours of game tape, are now being forced to do a lot more speculating.
A sure guy, like for Leatherwood to be a guy that's a plug-and-play guy, I mean, for God's sake, he won the Outland Trophy. He played at Alabama. He played at the highest level of football. He played multiple positions, whether it be guard or left tackle. And the right tackle, too, because he protected Tua's blind side. You know, I've always saw him as one of the top-tier guys. And, you know, so it's just been not concerning, but just I think people are reaching for other guys because he's such a sure guy. He's such a sure pick. People start reaching outside of that and saying, okay, and every scout, every person want to be the guy that discovered that next guy. And I just feel like Leatherwood is a safer guy. When you're using a first-round pick on a guy, you want to make sure he can come in and play. And people always talk about that guard and tackle. Which can he be? I mean, I say look at the guy from Washington Redskins that was just franchise tag. He was drafted from Iowa as a tackle, and they slid him down, and he's an all-pro guard. You know, I think at the least that's what you get with Leatherwood.
Ironically, teams are questioning whether Alex is too much of a sure thing. He won the Outland Trophy, which is given to the best interior offensive lineman in the country. And on top of that, he has consistently played at an elite level for multiple years and has excelled at almost every position on the offensive line. So, of course, teams are doing everything they can to poke holes in his draft status, asking questions like, does he have a natural position in the NFL? Is he a true franchise left tackle, capable of protecting a quarterback's blindside? Or has playing at Alabama already helped him peak, and therefore do other linemen have more of an upside in the long run? It's enough to make even the most confident prospect begin to question himself. And being an anchor on the line is absolutely not how Alex Leatherwood's career began at Alabama. Here's Alex talking about arriving on campus as the most sought-after offensive line recruit in the country.
I was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, is that what they called it? I was definitely that when I first got there. But the hardest thing, I feel like you get such a good player, you're like top player in the country coming out of high school, all that stuff. You think you're hot shit, and then season comes in like, you're not starting, that shit kind of like hit you hard, you know what I mean? At first, I was butt hurt in my feelings because I'm like, damn, I'm not starting, I'm not playing. I'm just on the sideline, bench warming and shit.
Alex was the top-ranked recruit in the state of Florida and the top-ranked offensive tackle in the entire country. Coming in as a freshman and not playing wasn't a possibility he ever considered happening. His close friend and teammate, Jerez Parks, weighs in on some of Alex's challenges.
The biggest obstacles Alex probably had to take on going through this program and him executing his plan was making sure he was consistent with everything that he did. Consistency is such a hard thing to really do for a lot of people, especially at this level, and we're all human.
It wasn't just the struggles with consistency. The initial conditioning and physical demands also caught Alex off guard.
It was definitely tough at first. I graduated early. I got there in January, and that's when we do our winter conditioning program, fourth quarter. But easily, by far, the most hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Here's Alex's teammate, Jerez, again.
Oh, wow. Our winter program consists of us working really, really hard in training. We run like crazy. Like, it's probably one of the hardest things that I've ever done in my entire life. And I know that I'm smaller than Alex, so running is not that hard on me, but going through that program, I felt that as I was gonna die every time I did it. So Alex, yeah, he's very much a hard worker, but that is something that will fight your brain at the core.
College football fans have likely heard whisperings of this notorious conditioning program. However, the details of the workouts are guarded like a national secret. Here's Alex again, offering a low-level security clearance summary.
It's a ton of running, heavy lifting. I know when we had got a new coaching staff change my junior year, our new O-line coach, Coach Flood, he was like, I can't believe it. Y'all are like America's biggest cross-country team. It's a lot of running. That's all I got to say.
Here's Jerez again on how challenging these workouts can be, regardless of your size.
It's a level of not understanding, is this my body hurting or is this my head, like my brain? And I know that he struggled with that because that's some shit. Sorry, excuse my language, but that program is some shit that the weak cannot survive. You know, there are many moments where I felt as, oh, I'm about to stop playing football. I can't do this anymore. Like, I was willing to give up the entire sport at some points just because I knew that I can't do this workout anymore. It's really hard, but I definitely seen him kill those workouts at times and seen the workout kind of get the best of him at times.
It can be humbling for an elite recruit to suddenly find himself overwhelmed by practices and workouts, many of which are so demanding you openly question your desire to continue playing the sport. And after each grueling week of practice, Alex spent every Saturday watching from the sidelines, only playing in mop-up time to run out the clock. This kind of adversity often leads to young players blaming coaches, finding excuses, or even transferring programs. But instead, Alex looked inward.
So like the first couple weeks, I was just feeling sorry for myself and things like that. But shortly after, I was like, clearly I'm not playing because I'm not ready. I mean, just self-talk and really like looking myself in the mirror and having tough conversations with myself and talking myself through it, you know, like, damn, why am I not playing? All that type of shit, and really like me answering the question for myself, that was the only answer, you know what I mean? So I was like, we're gonna fix it. So learning how to be like mature and a grown man about my work and my practice and my craft.
Jerez saw Alex's preparation and work ethic begin to transform, and his master plan growing even more detailed.
The way that he went about that struggle, about like him always being in his playbook, always watching film, always making sure that he's up meeting with his coaches and making sure that the rest of the guys on the line are doing what they have to do. Like, he chose to hone in on his struggles in a sense and polish them to his best ability versus let them bring him down in a sense or really shake his world.
By the end of Alex's freshman season, Alabama makes it to the 2018 National Championship game against the University of Georgia.
I mean, of course, I was excited about the game. I had all the faith in my team that we were going to get the job done and whoop their ass and all that good stuff. So I wasn't really tripping about the game. I was just grateful to be there. But my mom was the furthest away from, like, playing, you know what I mean?
Alex anticipates having an amazing view from the Crimson Tide sidelines throughout the night. And then Alabama's starting left tackle gets hurt in the third quarter. As the injured star leaves the field, the team turns to a freshman who barely played the entire season, who had no intention of ever getting into this game, and who now has to step up with the national championship on the line.
Yeah, essentially, he got hurt, and I'm like, damn, hope I don't go out here and get my ass whooped on national TV, because this is like the only game everybody in the country is watching right now. I'm a freshman. I think it was like a couple first-rounders on that defense, like Roquan Smith, like two really good edge rushers, all that good shit. And I'm just like, damn, these are some grown-ass men. These dudes probably got children and shit. I'm like, what, 18? I'm finna go get my ass whooped.
Perhaps seeing the concern in Alex's eyes, Alabama coach Nick Saban pulls him aside and gives him a quick pep talk.
He was just like, take it play by play. Don't worry about what happened the last play and don't be too anxious about the next play, but all you gotta do is do your job. And we trust in you because we got you out here, so you can do the job. So do it, basically.
The bright-eyed, bushy-tailed freshman is thrown into arguably the worst possible scenario, playing his first significant minutes of the season in the second half of the national championship game against a top-10 defense full of future NFL players. Alex breaks the huddle, settles into his stance, and the ball is hiked.
As soon as that ball snapped on my first play out there, all the butterflies were gone like that. I mean, it was over with. And like, I went out there and I was like, I'm a dog too, you know? So we finna dance, we finna tango, we finna see who wanted more, you know what I mean? I was good.
Once he got that first play under his belt, Alex's confidence grew. And if you recall from the end of episode one, Alabama and Georgia take the championship game into overtime.
It's really a blessing because, like, if I would have carried on that season, feeling sorry for myself and not really putting the work in to, like, be the best player that I can be, then I probably would have won in that game and laid an egg, but I didn't. I went out there and I'm trusting my training, trusting my work, the work that I put in, and shit, I balled out.
He excelled all the way until the final play of the game, when Alex holds up the pass rush long enough to give the Alabama quarterback time to throw deep.
Fires to the end zone. Touchdown! Alabama wins! To true freshman, Tunga Vailoa, to Devontae Smith. Alabama breaks Georgia hearts.
If he doesn't stop his man, the ball never arrives in Devontae Smith's hands, and Alabama potentially doesn't win the national championship. He'd spent the whole year preparing for this opportunity, and then it actually happened.
He caught the touchdown, and like everybody swarmed the field. Shit, I was in shambles. I was crying my eyes out for like a whole hour after. I was a bag of water, because like coming from like a bad high school program, then as a freshman going to the best college football program, putting in all that work, you know what I mean? And even like behind the scenes when like you're not playing and shit, and to see all your hard work come to fruition and come to life, like I contributed to that win. I helped my team win that. And that's something that will never be taken away from me. That shit was insane. It's nothing like that first one. Nothing like that first one.
Alex won the national championship again this past year, but it didn't live up to that final play his freshman year. And maybe nothing else ever will compare. Or maybe his next life-changing moment will transpire when all his hard work and sacrifice culminate once again. This time, with an NFL team calling his name in the draft. Something that he hopes will happen very, very soon. We'll be right back.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A few hours after talking to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, agent Demaryius Bilbo gets another call from him. This time, the call is about a new agent at Clutch, not the players they represent.
We are growing. I told you long ago that Rich was better than advertised. He knows what he's doing, and we have a vision for the football side of Clutch, and it's showing.
On this final day before the draft kicks off, Clutch Sports announces they've signed agent Nicole Lynn.
Yeah, she's impressive. Very impressive. and I've always been a fan of her. So, like I said, it's official now. So we're excited and ready to get the building.
Over the last few years, Nicole has become one of the most high-profile agents in the NFL. And in 2019, she became the first Black female agent to ever represent a top 10 draft pick. And like Alex and Devontae, and many of the other players she personally reps, the road to the NFL has not been easy. Here's Nicole.
I grew up in what I would call the hood, a very impoverished neighborhood, below the poverty line, really in the middle of gang violence and a lot of crime, just not your middle-class American family. It was very much, we're just trying to survive. And most of the people that I was surrounded with were Black males that lived that same life. Like, our only goal was to get out of the hood. How do we get out of the hood? And some did make it out. My brother, for example, was killed at 21. He was shot and killed because of gang violence. Like, many of the people I was surrounded by did not make it out. However, some of them did because of sports.
Nicole grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and attended the University of Oklahoma for undergrad and for law school. And during her time there, her career in sports came about very naturally.
There were a lot of players when I went to Oklahoma that I knew from either back home or we talked. And so I would watch them kind of make it out and make it into football and maybe go to the NFL for a year or two because the NFL's career length is really short. And then I'd somehow see them like on Christmas break back in the hood or broke. Everything that they had for the couple of years, they're already broke. And I could not believe it. I could not understand it because once I was out, I was never looking back. And I'm like, what in the world? Like, how does that happen? How do you have millions of dollars? I mean, I could not make sense of it in my head. But 75% of NFL players within 2 years of leaving the NFL claim some level of financial distress, whether that's they file bankruptcy, they go broke. And so I tell my guys, I'm like, that's 3 out of 4. I mean, there is no reason that should happen. And so it was like my mission to help these, when I want to say young men, but these were my friends. I got certified at 26. Most of my clients were my exact age. These were my peers. These are people I grew up with. So you'll hear agents or financial advisors talk about players going broke because their family is like, you know, mooching off of them. I get it though. It's not just mooching off. It's survival. There is nothing else. And so I get when the aunts and uncles and moms and dads are calling for money. I know where that is coming from. And I know how to handle and navigate that because even just as a lawyer, I had the same thing happen. I'm not an NFL player. I don't have NFL player money. But even just as a lawyer and being successful in that, I had the same exact situation. And so I'm able to relate to them on just, again, another level. And I'm like, oh yeah, we're from the same situation. Like, they got it. They understood. Like, we both came from the same circumstances.
After Clutch makes the announcement about Nicole, they throw a dinner in Cleveland to welcome her as the new president of football operations and to honor their draft prospects who flew into town. This includes Alabama receiver Devontae Smith, who was enjoying some bread and butter at his table.
That butter? Mm-hmm. It's sweet. Hold on. Matt Rule just called us.
That's Devontae's agent, Kelton Crenshaw, talking about how he's receiving text from coaches and teams even at this late hour, the night before the draft. Specifically, he just received messages from Carolina Panthers head coach, Matt Rule. Carolina has the 8th overall pick and is one of the teams reportedly interested in drafting Devontae. This is the game teams play as the draft gets closer and closer, scrambling to do their final homework on potential picks or showing their interest without tipping their hand.
What's up, y'all?
How you doing?
Maverick, man.
Devontae.
Big fan, bro.
Appreciate it.
Hate the way you did Ohio State, but I'm still a big ass fan. I'm still a big fan. You're in Ohio, man. Shit.
This is Maverick Carter, a longtime friend and business collaborator with Clutch Sports founder Rich Paul and NBA legend LeBron James.
That shit wasn't right, but I was rooting for the Buckeyes, but you kicked our ass. It was a one-man show. How you doing, dog? Feeling good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Got that nervous energy going yet?
Nah.
Feel good?
Yeah, straight.
Doesn't matter to you where you go, you don't care. You just want to play.
Keep me out of New York and Cali.
Oh, yeah. You just don't want to be in New York?
Yeah.
Or Cali.
Or Cali.
Why you don't want to be in New York and Cali?
Taxes too high.
Just like Alex and their teammate Landon Dickerson, Devontae is worried about paying too much in taxes as soon as he enters the NFL. Apparently, the University of Alabama locker room spends a great deal of time discussing state tax policy, in between crushing all their opponents and winning national championships.
So you want to be Texas, Tennessee,
Florida.
Florida. I hear you. Stay away from them high taxes. I live in Cali. I know what it's like.
I ain't trying to come out, though.
I know what it's like. Where are you going to spend your offseason at? You thought about it yet?
In Tampa.
Tampa, where
yeah.
It all?
Yeah.
I literally talked to Brady like a month after they won, and he was like, man, I came to Tampa to win the Super Bowl. I think I'm going to stay here. I like it. He like, you buying a house. You know, this is what I'm going to be when I retire.
Yeah.
Like, I love it.
It's nice out there.
Nice out there, man. Good meeting you, dog.
You too.
Good luck with everything,
appreciate
bro.
Appreciate it. Food coming out. Food coming out. You had snake or salmon, huh?
Salmon.
Oh, she did have salmon.
Some people might be impressed with these new celebrity circles and the late-night texts from NFL executives. Devontae Smith is not one of those people. He's more interested in eating his steak that just arrived so he can head back to the hotel.
Excuse me, y'all had A1?
Something similar.
Yeah, it's good. Yes, it is.
Christian,
you want this?
Yeah.
This steak. It's too pink.
It's too pink.
Yeah.
He's offering his steak to his little brother, Christian, because he likes his steak well done, and he won't eat it if it's too rare. He likes A1 sauce on it, and he doesn't care what anyone thinks about that.
He knows what he likes for sure. He knows what he likes. He knows what he doesn't like. He's a very deliberate guy to be so young.
This is his agent, Kelton, talking about that high level of self-awareness Devontae always exhibits.
He's not like one of these people that's just kind of like whatever. He has strong opinions for sure, but as far as like getting rattled, even like, you hear stories of like how during the season when like certain DBs that like said things about kind of quote unquote took shots at him, those were like the guys where he had like his best games generally. He doesn't really get too high, he doesn't get too low. He's a very even keeled young man. He's definitely mature beyond his years. He just does everything the right way, man.
He knows what he likes and he sticks to it. And based on his two national championships, winning the Heisman Trophy and completing arguably the best season a receiver ever had in college football, his approach seems to be working. So instead of a steak, Devontae eats some mashed potatoes as Clutch Sports founder and CEO Rich Paul stands to give a toast.
I just want to give a toast to the draft, your families. Oftentimes, we only opportunity to toast each other. It needs time to think about it the proper way. So I just want to say congratulations to you all. Good luck tomorrow. And then I want to give a toast again for Nicole Lynn, who today is officially her first day at Club Sports Group. So we've been here for a while. And both congratulations to both Bill Ball and Kelton as well. Tomorrow's a big day for all you guys.
All right.
We're behind 100%.
Here's Rich on the decision to bring Nicole over to Clutch.
Nicole's great. Watched her a long time, inquired about her around the league. Nothing but great things. Really professional, really good agent. We didn't hire her because she was a woman or because she was a black woman. We hired her because she was a great agent. Look, she knows football, she knows business, male, female. Didn't matter to me. She belongs. So I didn't look at it from that perspective. I was just trying to add to our group.
Even though Rich doesn't view her as a female agent specifically, or as a black woman first and foremost, Nicole's experience working in a field where 95% of the certified agents are male means she hasn't had that same luxury in her career.
The whole thing is tough. Like, I'm a woman and then I'm a black woman. And then for a very long time, I was very young and, you know, I'm still pretty darn young. So for a while, my age was always a thing. You know, I signed my first rounder at 29. Like what? I have, you know, I was 28 and I did one of my first big contracts at 28 and my player was 28. So that was also, it was like, oh, you're young, you're under 30, you're a woman, you're Black. It was just always something. Like, for example, I'd run clutch and one of the agents who's amazing and has had multiple top five picks and done all this amazing stuff, you know, in his presentations, he doesn't talk much about himself. You know, he's like, here's our company and here's what we do and let's talk about what we can do for you. But he doesn't like give his resume. And I'm always like, man, why are you not giving your resume and showing him how legit you are? He's like, oh, I just don't do that. And I was like, wait a second. You don't have to do that. There's a difference. I have to go in. I don't walk in the room as a credible person. I'm a woman. They don't immediately know that I know the game. I have to spend 20 minutes explaining. I worked at the NFLPA. I know the game. I'm married to a college coach. I know what a 4-3 defense is. I have to set the stage. He doesn't have to do that. And that's no knock on him. It's an observation like, wow, how different the world is. And, you know, it's like, I always have to navigate things very, very differently.
We'll be right back.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So, listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Just how different is it operating in the world of pro football when you're a young Black female agent? Even something as basic as networking is no longer straightforward.
You go to the combine and you usually you try to take out general managers to steak dinners, to network. That's part of networking as an agent. You hit up a guy, hit up a GM, hit up a scout. Let's go to drinks, let's go to dinner. You know, and you pay for it and you wine and dine them. I can't do that. I can't call up so-and-so GM and take them to dinner. The optics are there. And so it takes me three times the work to build the relationship with the GM because I can't hang out with them one-on-one, right? And so it's little stuff like that that people don't know, they don't think of. I have to be more cautious what I'm saying, what I'm texting, what I, you know, everything I do, I have to think about it first. Like, oh, does this come off in any way but professional? It's like, none of my peers are thinking about that. They're just doing what they want to do that feels right. I don't get to do that. I don't have that luxury.
And sometimes the differences between genders extends far beyond standard professional challenges.
Teams will sometimes book, reserve, or get you a discount at the player's hotel as an agent, especially if the team is on the road, so that you can see your guys. And so this particular team had booked my room for me, and I was trying to see my player who's at the same hotel as me, just on a different floor. And the security guard, which was in front of the elevator, like when I got off, thought for sure that I was a girlfriend sneaking in, and like literally escorted me out of the whole hotel, not the floor, not to the elevator, of the whole hotel. Like, you can't be doing this. And this was pretty early on in my career, so I'm pretty bold. Like, that would never happen to me today. I would lose my ish. But in the moment, I was just like, what is happening right now? And so I'm trying to name drop, and I didn't have my ID on me. And I'm like, I promise you, I'm an agent. You can ask anybody. Just weird stuff like that. It's like, nobody would ever do that to a male. That would never happen. And so one of my big goals in this career in life is to empower other women to feel confident to do what I do, and not just do what I do as in be an agent, but be comfortable in their own skin, be comfortable with being their authentic self in whatever situation they're in, be comfortable with being in a male dominated field, being able to advocate for their seat at the table. I promised myself, I committed to myself that I would get to where I wanted to be, and I would bring every woman that I could with me.
Across the room, Rich takes a more literal seat at the table, joining Devante and his family after everyone finishes dinner. He's recounting the trip from LA to Cleveland for the draft this weekend.
My kids ask me, are we flying commercial or private now? I'm like, where are y'all getting this stuff from? We're taking Delta.
Don't do it like that.
We're taking Delta.
Don't do it like that.
What are you talking about?
That's the great.
Now, Rich turns to Devante's father, Calvin Dickerson.
Now, Pops, I got a question. Because he told me something at my house. Is it true? Y'all go outside, take a squirrel, and carve him up. I'm from the country too. But that was just sounded crazy.
When Devante and his dad were in Los Angeles meeting with the Clutch team, they told stories about shooting squirrels back home, as well as how some people in the area eat them. They may or may not have also mentioned being chased by wild hogs in the swamp, too. Like Devante's agent Kelton said, he's a very confident and deliberate guy to be so young.
Rabbit! I mean, I don't mind a rabbit.
No squirrel. Squirrel's bad.
Nah, that was a little strong. Like, I said, damn, I've been thinking about that since you left L.A. I've been telling that story. I understand the cool. I heard that before. Deer, yeah.
I don't do it.
Right.
Yeah.
But I talked to Jeff today. He wants to go to Detroit. Oh, cool. He like, shit, me here for Detroit. We're like, no. We'll see.
Rich is referring to cornerback Jeff Okuda, last year's third overall pick, who was featured in season one of Drafted.
You try to come in the morning?
Yeah, I'm gonna go on trade me
in the morning too.
That's Devante's agent, Kelton, asking about joining his client for his morning workout. Of course, Kelton might not realize what he's getting into.
I'm probably gonna do some upper body, hit the treadmill, then probably hit the pool. Now that pool, you hit that pool, you going straight to sleep out. It's over with. You hit that pool, it's over with. You hit that pool, you might as well just cancel everything the rest of the day. That pool real.
So be there at 6 or pitch you at 6?
We'll start at 6.
No, that's cool. I just want to know. You know, I don't want to be sexually at 5.
Why you looking like that?
Devontae's laughing at how shocked Kelton is about his plans for draft day. Yes, he's waking up at 5 a.m. for a serious workout on arguably the biggest day of his life. And yes, he could train all morning and still be calm and relaxed enough to take a nap. Dozing off while waiting to find out where he'll be living, what team he'll be playing on, how much money he'll be making, and who his teammates and coaches will be. Normal people get nervous about every single one of those life-changing unknowns. Devontae isn't losing sleep over any of them. He already knows what he wants and that everything else is just a distraction.
Yeah, I mean, I've been working for this moment, so I kind of expected to be here. All the work that I've put in, just knowing that day in and day out, I've been grinding. So, I mean, I expected to be here. I expected nothing less.
Next on Drafted.
You know, they're not just handing out Heisman Trophy awards and Outland Trophy awards. I think a part of that kind of got to them. You know, it's like, what more can I do?
It's probably like a quarter of a mile stretch of land. There was a stage, and then there was like a large area that was like green room pods. All of that was inside of this tent area.
To be honest, what he said, kind of a blur because I was just elated.
I couldn't do anything but break down in tears because that plan came to life. It was just one of the amazing moments to just be there and witness and just be a part of.
I was just like, well, I guess we're going to New York. At this point, I was just kind of like, we're going to New York. It is what it is. That's the dope thing about the NFL draft. It's super unpredictable.
Drafted is a production of Treefort Media, Clutch Sports Group, and iHeartRadio. The executive producers are Kelly Garner, Lisa Ammerman, Eric Salat, Eric Weiner, and Sean Titone. The series is produced and written by Eric Weiner. Garme Mamalu is our coordinating producer. Coral Silverberg is our associate producer. Tom Monahan is our senior audio engineer. The show is mixed, edited, and hosted by me, Stephen Johnson. Additional production help from Tim Schauer and Haley Mandelberg. For transcripts of the show and more information on Drafted, go to treefort.fm. And for more podcasts from iHeart, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.